I'll tell you about this. It's my dad's mum, grandma, whatever it was, and she lived at number 1 Oak Street. And you went up about 5 steps to get into her house, and she took washing in on the street. And in the yard, it were only 2 rooms down and 2 rooms up, but no bathroom or anything. In the yard, it was one big communal yard, and there must have been about 6 or 8 houses. And, well, now there's flats built on it now, isn't there? And she did, used to call her Maggie May, because she did oak washing. And her name was Maggie, you know, and they called her Maggie May. And she did all the washing. And any child would come and sat on his step. She used to bake. And she always gave him biscuits, you know. And she was a little woman, and you could see her head shining, because there were no... Her hair was that thin and grey, and you could see her head shining. And when we were kiddies, we used to say, "Has Grandma Wicker polished her head?" You know, because it used to shine that much, and my mum used to polish it home. And because it shone, we thought Grandma Whittle did that, you know. I never really knew her first name, just Grandma Whittle, you know. Yeah. I can see you now, with Penny on right down to floor. And
did everybody call her Grandma Whittle?
In our family, yeah.
Yeah, but did anybody else? Was she known by?
Maggie May, they called her Maggie May.
But she lived at the first house. I remember going up these steps, and there was 5 children of us, and we all sat on each step, you know. Then when you went to the toilets were immaculate. There was a row of toilets. There was 5 toilets between 8 houses. There might have been 7 houses, and the toilets was immaculate. And I used to say to my mum, "Well, how do you know which toilet to use?" My mum said, "What cleanest one is your grandma's, you know." Well, she lived at the first house. We always used that first toilet. Yeah, and the yard, you could eat off floor, it was that clean. There were big stone slabs, and they were scrubbed, you know.
I remember
those. On
their
hands and knees, and she stoned all his steps, and yeah.
Not
and I didn't live round here. I lived up Ribbleton Lane, you know. So that's the only thing I know about this area, apart from when I got married and moved down here and they built the flats and whatever.
Do we know of any other characters?
Oh, just before you go, my husband used to live in Back Silver Street when he was little, you know. I have a photograph of his sister, Peggy, in the backyard. He used to be in Operatic Society, and she was as well. And they have a photograph of them when they was dressed up in their outfits with a little square window back, you know, 4 square windows. I have that photograph at home, yeah. That's the only thing I know, really.
Well, Jean gave me quite a few, didn't you?
Yeah.
Of the Operatic Society. Does anyone know when the society started?
Oh, it was before the First World War. Yeah.
And when did it actually finish?
Well, it stopped during the Second World War, and then after the Second World War, they started again.
Yes.
Then eventually, and I don't know what year it was, they moved from St. Augustine's Centre performing into the new Guild Hall.
Or the Charter.
Charter Theatre. Yeah. So they started putting it
down. So they pulled down the school.
They used to have it in the hall.
Yeah, they did.
Because I helped out there.
We were talking about the school first. Well, when the school got pulled down, they had all the practices, and then they did them in the club.
Which is now pulled down again.
And that's all gone.
Yeah.
And then from there, they went to the Chelsea Theatre.
That's a couple of years ago. Jim Cousins said on the bus, like he always has done, he was busy doing a Gilbertson saga.
Oh, yeah.
So it is still going.
But
St. Augustine's Operatic Society doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't, no. Because my husband was in it, Maureen's husband.
There seemed to be quite a lot of people in the
society.
It was lovely.
Do you remember the plays, Maureen?
Television.
Yeah.
television. Small dramatic things.
There's two members that the town's spoken to recently, Easter, and from Blessed Sacrament, when we went to the vigil meetings, you know, the masses, and they were in our St. Augustine's operatic. And one of them, in particular, was always my partner. Whenever we have a show, various ones, him and me were always partners together. Bob, one was Bob Melling, and the other one was the other one, I can't think of his name. And we were always partners, strangely enough.
It's not wrong.
Whenever the show was, we all seemed to be.
And
then a lady came and took over.
Yeah.
I don't know how she came. She came and took over, but she didn't want to do Gilbert and Sullivan. She wanted to do something else. And we did the Gypsy Baron, and we did another one. And from what I've heard recently, only recently, she was the one that actually run us into the ground. She ran us out of money. And she ran us into debt. And it was her that finished off our operatic.
I had a partner. And he said to me, I sometimes get this urge to run off stage. So he said, if I do that, you understand. So he'd have his arm around me and he'd start shaking like this. And I'd think, is he going to run off stage? He never did, but, you know, it was Harry, his wife was Pauline, not the surname, but he used to shake.
Oh, they weren't sent to us.
No, but they're in the opera, yeah.
And I used to sing in the choir upstairs in the church, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
We stood next to each other.
Yeah.
Teresa. Mm-hmm. Who else was with us? Well, Leonora, you was in, weren't you? Because your daughter used to.
Mary Catherine, haven't
we? Mary was. When my husband couldn't go down for communion, Mary used to take our Gerard down to be blessed.
Joyce.
She went in the choir when I was in, because she was. You won't remember it.
It's 1995, this. Nicola's on, her granddaughter.
If you go to look at the archives when they're available, because it's going to be...
And that's Joanne and Laura. That looks like Moira at the back, but it's Joanne and Nicola.
Moira, I thought, was that one in front.
There's a netball team from 1926, a picture of that, where we compare them.
It's 1995.
Mm. And those were from Rosa.
Well, that's 12 years ago. Yeah. Yeah.
No,
more
than
30
hours.
That's
a meeting
about
the
photo shops.
I said
we shouldn't say
that. Have you anything after Michael Gilbert, his sister wrote?
That's Nicola, the goalkeeper.
Yeah, we haven't copied those. Yeah, copyright is
Nicola.
You know,
but I think some of them we have already.
And the twins are either side of the bag.
Joanne and Laura. Pupils. And apparently then they left it in Milton's and it was made into what it is now.
Yeah, the college.
All the records, we're all just very bad work.
So every time
they get to
it. My grandma, the two sisters, were gorgeous there in the very early days.
What a shame.
Terrible.
when you think who.
But that's why we say we're losing history, because it does get destroyed. Mm. I mean, I can remember going in 1950s to work at a place that was a mine, a working mine, and finding the maps and the books all belonging to the colliery.
Yeah.
And we also found a big chest, and it had a will in from one of the townleys in Burnley. Ooh. And I borrowed it to show to someone and took it back and put it back in this box. What I didn't know was that the company I worked for had arranged for a skip to come.
Oh,
and
yeah.
All of them were put through the window into a skip.
Oh.
Well,
they did that with the club when they... When they closed the men's club down, the club was still going, but they emptied that club of all memorabilia. And they had photographs in there of the old... belonging to the old men's club.
The bowling team and the fishing
Yes,
team
all them.
Yeah.
And,
but the old men's club that used to be down here.
Yeah.
In Austin Road.
Yeah.
And then they were pulling it all down. That's when they came down here. It's what we knew, St. Augustine's club.
Cousin Dorothy had a reception
there.
St.
Augustine's
club.
Yes. Yeah. In the old club.
Yeah. Wedding reception.
We used to go and learn dancing there.
We used to learn tap dancing there and stuff.
Well, the
men's club was upstairs. They had the bowling
alley.
Nowadays, it was only for the
Yes.
The men's club only.
Yeah, but we used to have dancing down the street.
But it
didn't mean that.
I always remember when my grandma Whitley died, we lived on Middleton Lane, and when she died, you bought wreaths in them days,
From the name.
And there was my mum, my dad, there's five children. We all come walking down Queen Street, which there were little old houses, that the window ledges were very low, because as we were walking past, we used to drag our hands on them. And when we got to the bottom, we went to Grandma Whittle, she was dead, she was in the house, and my mum got a nail and nailed it at the door and hung this big wreath on the door outside. And that's what they used to do. I don't remember going to the funeral, but I remember taking this wreath down,
They did used to have street collections.
And street parties as well, when
and
everybody come
drew
from the board.
And
they used to tip their hats, didn't they, when they
went
past
the
funeral?
I'll tell you something else that we used to do. Because if anyone died, we used to put the curtains across, The little lace curtain would have been whatever, and then the big curtains would be drawn.
Yeah.
So you could go in and knock at the door and you'd say, please, can you see them? So they'd let you in to have a look at who died. And this particular day, us three of us, we'd gone and knocked at the door and said, she said, yes. So, please, can we see him? And she said, who? I said, that man that's died. She said, what do you mean, them that's dead? There's nobody dead. She said, well, you've got your curtains, don't you? She said, gee, clear off, then I'll wake up your curtains.
But isn't you normal procession when the men would stand, they wouldn't move, they'd stop where they were, they'd take their hats off and roll and hot and they'd go down the still
run up
the
cortege.
I remember coming
out, he'd be standing still.
Come on,
Used to borrow clothes to go to funerals, didn't you? I know when my other granddad died, our boy, she was 15, and we were poor because we had a lot of kiddies in our family. And my auntie Nellie lent our boy with this brown fur coat, really bonny fur coat. It was not that far off Floyd. And she went to a funeral in it, you know, because my dad wouldn't go. And my mum went and she took our boy with this long black woman, beautiful coat, Beaver Lambie wore his coat. And my auntie Nellie lent it to her because she had a short jacket on her. And I could see how Bob and I were giving him that big car. They only sent to me one car in them days.
Yes, there was nobody had any money, didn't they? They could only afford
they were, one. They were the Hearst and one car, and everybody fit in that car, didn't they?
Well, I don't know where the people walk behind. I mean, they used to walk and lead it, didn't they? I mean, they used to walk all the way from, you know, the house to the church. I mean, it would be a great distance when you think about it, but it'd be a mile or
they met you there at the gates. You know, they meet the coffin at the gates of the cemetery, and then they would walk in behind while you have a go down the bus to get from the funeral.
We were talking about traditions with funerals, but there were with weddings as well.
Oh, yes.
Because the people used to come out to watch the bride go.
And it was men part of tipping their hat and the caps. When you're going up New Orleans to cemetery, you always got down the bow of the head and nodding to the coffin. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't hear that today, do you?
And they don't come out when the bride's going, do they, really?
No. And unless it's your next door neighbour, you come out and say, well done, you know. Great. See when you come out of church.
Many of them must have got fed up of me. Keep coming out for me. I've been married three times. Must have owned them again.
I was there at the last meeting.
Oh,
gee.
Everybody around you at Windows.
Oh, yeah.
You see, I don't remember.
And they were all hanging out of the windows, you know, with the And all the sirens were going down on the...
The all clear it was, the all clear would go. Now, talking about the war bit, when the sirens went, it was a woo up and down, you know, that kind of thing, and your stomach turned over and you think, oh, no. When the war ended, they did away with this up and down sound, but they kept the all clear. Now, the all clear was one long sound, quite a loud sound. And the fire brigade cut up the town. So when there was a fire and they were calling the fire brigade, this alarm went off, the siren went, and I'll tell you, it took us a long while before then you think, oh, listen to that, oh no, it's all clear.
Yeah.
And that went on for a long time. And then they did away with that eventually, but it was always there when you heard that sound.
We had one of the Anderson shelters in our backyard. I think it was three families.
Right.
And one night, my dad said, right, he said, my dad said, right, I'm going upstairs, he said, to get a mattress. So we went upstairs, he got this mattress, put it on the floor, just got us down, and all clear went. To lift it up, bring us all out.
Oh, yeah.
And that was used for years after. That was our house.
I don't know that lady's name.
Nora.
Man, my daddy was his own guy.
Right.
Yeah, he did that, yeah.
It's amazing. Going back to wartime and stuff, I have a story I can tell you. We had, when the sirens went, they were literally in Preston.
and there was some bombs dropped on from Ramwood Park. They were trying for the army, which is just up the road,
right,
the barracks. And there was two bombs dropped across the road from where I live, just across the road in Fish, because you're coming up London Road. There's a running track now, where the two bombs dropped in there. And that moment in time was like a market garden. So they dropped in soft ground, and it shook our house. We were across the road at the other side. Smashed all the windows along Fish Street View there. And they all had tapes on, you know, we had apple tapes, crisscross tapes on the windows. And there was one very old lady, who slept underneath the window, never heard a thing, and her windows were the only ones that were smashed. Can you believe that? The only one that were, should have got cut to bits, you know, but it would have gone straight in. Another story, going back to bombs. Yeah. My three children. There were four of them. There were two girls and two lads, and a couple of more kids from down the street. And they gone for a walk. I'm going back. It's like 30 years now. But that's all. And anyway, so they gone for a walk down to the river, over the track bridge, walked across towards the railway bridge that you used to be able to go across. And somebody tripped up over a piece of metal that was sticking up on the ground. So they decided it was dangerous. There's nothing else to do, it was dangerous. So they got sticks and stones and started to bang on the ground to get this piece of metal out. So they kept on going, further and further and further, and they ended up with a bomb on the path across the river, a bomb. So there's a man going past, and they said to me, "Mister,
she got
dug up." Yeah. And he said, "Oh,
when they was getting
it's a bomb from war." He said, "What shall we do?" He said, "Take it to the police station."
You know,
now, what would they have done today? Yeah. Helicopters had been out, there'd have been police around, you wouldn't have been able to walk. So they wrapped it up in the coat and they picked it up between the two lights and they carried it all the way back over the bridge. All the way
through town. But they're going to get married.
Back to the police station. In town centre by the market.
She's wondering.
So, this is a while after, when they got back home, they got the story. The story was, as they said, they dug it up. This man said, "Take it to the police station." So they did. And I said, "Did you not think?" I said, "That it might have blown up." But, yeah, we did. But I said, "Did nobody stop you?" "No, because we took the corpse off and we covered it up in case it blew up for protection." Can you imagine? And the girl, they all said, "Yeah, but we were saying rosary while we were walking behind." I said, "Well, your guardian angels were working overtime." So they got to the police station and went in. It was a big room then, just where the market is, still there. And when they walked, and one of the lads took hold of it, you know, to get it on the counter. On the counter. He said, "Oh, we dug this up down that river." But you can imagine what happened next. He pressed a button on the desk or under the desk, and there were bells ringing and alarms going off, and everybody had to go out. And all the kids were amazed. They said, "Well, we dug it." And there wasn't one word of it in the paper. And they said, "No, nothing." Now it would have been national. We've got television now. And they said, for the army, the army came and took it away, and it was an incendiary bomb from the big drop, trying to get the railway lines, and they'd missed. It had dropped in the soft ground. But weren't they lucky?
They were.
Because it took it away, and yes, it was an incendiary.
I always remember being told that the bombs that were dropped down there, they were more or less going for the bridge.
Well, they would be, probably. Railway station.
Sorry, what I've got to railway
We used to. I was an area warden, and we used to stand on the front on the, by the river during our watch, and we'd walk down, and every now and again you could see the light in the sky, way over, you know, across the river.
My dad used to do that.
And you could see the light in the sky, and so all like, it's getting battered. You could see it, and as if you could feel the vibration. Right. It was, you know.
We used to polish his buttons and whiten his spats.
It was scary. You know, when you did it, you didn't think anything about it. Well, you did think about it, yeah. But you just got on with it. And wherever we went, we'd take the gas mask. And I had a tin helmet as well, because of an area where I had to have my badge in. And if ever the siren went, I was immediately on duty. Immediately I'd go on duty.
And did you see any real destruction?
No, not in Preston.
Not in Preston.
We were very lucky. As I say, those two bombs that went across the road from where I live, in London Road, those were the two closest. But there was a few up by the barracks.
I know there was one at home.
That one in the storm is lost the call. Lost the call back the bridge. Once Sunday dinner time. They all sat down having their dinner and they wiped the street out. Just we were looking probably trying for the railway lines again and missed it. And it just wiped the street.
I mean, I was only 10 when war finished, so obviously.
Well, I was 18 when it started, so...
So you remember?
Yeah. If I'd been a boy, I'd have been in the army and air. It was something to look back to. It was exciting in a lot of ways. But we had to do a lot of learning. All kinds of things. Life-saving and bandaging and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
To go for meetings, go to different. We had a quiz night. Our group would go to one of my friends, top of Brenchwood, and we'd have somebody else would come down, two or three, you know, round about. We'd have a quiz night, see who knew the most knowledge of how I had to do.
Was it done locally? Were you all sort of, did you know everybody in your group?
Yes, I was down on the boulevard roughly, on the boulevard bottom end. The next lot was along Century Avenue. Then there was someone else up here on the top. And they're all in different parts. There's so many streets, if you will.
Yeah, but you knew everybody. You knew
them. Yes, we knew all.
The other people that were in. Right, I'm going to stop this. We've had...